You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
My guest on the line is Dr. Robert McMurtry. He is the founding chair of the Society for Wind Vigilance. He's been in the medical field of former dean of medicine at the University of Western Ontario for many, many years. And we talk to him from time to time about wind farm issues. Dr. McMurtry, thanks very much for returning to Zoomer Radio.
Oh, it's a delight to be with you, Dale. Thanks for having me.
Now, I know that we greeted with some optimism the notion that Health Canada was going to conduct a study into the health effects of wind turbines. But according to what you're saying, this has to be done in the right way. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely.
And what
no
is
point
the
doing a study and not getting it right?
Yeah, well, what's the right way as opposed to the way Health Canada apparently is going to do this? Explain that for us.
Be delighted. I think the idea of a health study is wonderful, and full plaudits to the minister for having announced it. However, what we've always asked for, and we've been asking for health studies for 4 years, is that it be an arm's length organization. This particular organization is a branch, is a division within something called Healthy Environment Consumer Safety Branch of Health Canada. They are a regulatory branch. They are not a research organization. There is a very capable research organization that the report to Minister Glucock, the Minister of Health, and they include the Public Health Agency of Canada, which has far more research capacity. But the best thing of all would unquestionably be Canadian Institutes of Health Research. That organization is the top research agency in the country, and what they do is they get a funding and then they put out what's called an RFP, or they request proposals from all the top research institutes and universities in the country, and it's completely arm's length. It's reviewed by their peer review process, which is the most trusted process in the country. And it's been done before to answer important questions. And there are issues with that particular branch. We knew that they were, for the past months, working at something, and it was impossible to access what they were doing. They skipped over about 30 scientists that we normally would work with, inviting none of them in.
Yeah.
The process was opaque, and they're on record as being in favor of industrial wind turbines. Especially David Michaud and Stephen Bly, who are involved with this.
So you're worried that essentially at the end of the day, if the research carries on through Health Canada, we'll wind up with a license to develop more wind farms.
Exactly. And because that exactly is it. And I'm very disquieted by the fact that their process to get to this point was so non-transparent.
Yeah.
I might also add, Dale, that the Scientific Advisory Board met in February of 2012, and that's the Scientific Advisory Board of Health Canada.
Yeah.
And they give outside advice. And they said, well, that's nice. You're doing this research. It'll add to the understanding. However, you won't be able to derive causation. What is the cause and effect relationship? That can't be done. Nor will we know prevalence. And they had other comments about what...
Well, those are the two basic things that everybody wants to know.
Exactly. Exactly. What are you doing? And if you aren't looking at that. And there was other disturbing things. For example, they talked about, quotes, potential health effects, end quotes.
Yeah.
Well, the health effects aren't potential. There's been thousands of worldwide reports of adverse health effects. It's been confirmed in a judicial process in Ontario. July 18th, Chatham-Kent ERT review, and where it was confirmed that there are indeed adverse health effects, that it's a matter of degree.
It's a matter of how far away you need to be, essentially,
exactly.
Is what they were
That's
saying,
what
wasn't
we
it?
Need.
Yeah.
And for years, European researchers, and as well as ourselves, have been asking to do the research so we can do setbacks that hold people safe. At present in Ontario, that's not being done. And other jurisdictions are waking up and moving turbines back 2 kilometers.
Yeah. And this, of course, is a movement in the world that is growing every time we look at it. This is the we've got the NAPAW group, the North American Platform Against Wind Power, the European Platform Against Wind Power. We're talking what, 600 associations, maybe?
Exactly right, and they've come out very quickly and like said the same three key things, and that is. The research is a great idea. What we've been asking for is number two, it has to be done by an arm's length agency and done properly, which is not the track we're on. And number three, since the Minister of Health has confirmed there are knowledge gaps and research gaps, that's confirmed. We knew that, but she is now confirmed by her, that surely calls for a moratorium. We don't have evidence-based guidelines. We don't have research to say, here's a safe setback. They've been plunging ahead in the absence of that information.
But now that we know, and now that you're talking about it, and others will talk about it, the fact that Health Canada has agreed not to let the results be causative and not to tally up how many people might be affected by this, are being affected by this, can't they... Is it possible that they themselves could change the parameters of their own study, get the right people involved in the study, and leave it with Health Canada? Would you be comfortable with that?
No. It's well known in the research community, the process that you need to go through.
Yeah.
In order to have arms like the research. They're trying to circumvent that. What you do is you go through what I've talked about. Our leading research agency, which has a substantial budget of over $700 million a year, the last time I looked, it is connected with all the top researchers in the country. And it has to be a competitive peer review process and let the person or the persons that come up with the best research proposal, let them win and carry the day.
Yeah.
That's how it should be done. They ought not to be appointing themselves. And they can bring in, they claim they're bringing in outside expertise. I don't trust it in view of the fact that they didn't engage at least 30 internationally active researchers that I'm aware of, and they were very closeted in their approach.
In other words, the Health Canada study, if it continues the way it seems to be planned right now, will be... in effect, a hindrance to the whole anti-wind movement hardly will settle the question.
Yeah, now just a small matter of language there, Dale. The movement that I would say we are is we're a pro-health and pro-truth movement.
I don't mean anti-wind in terms of you know that from what I've said to you in the. I don't mean all wind turbines. I mean wind turbines in the wrong place.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Okay.
We don't want to put people in harm's way.
Well, that's exactly right. Now, the other thing that you're saying, and a lot of people are agreeing with you, a lot of MPs and MPPs in Ontario as well, listen, at least during any study period, don't build more wind turbines until we've established the level of health threat here.
Exactly. It is... What's been to happen is that the Ontario government has thrown out the precautionary principle. And I find that an extraordinary behavior. But nonetheless, that's been done, as well as taking democratic process away from municipalities. And so the whole exercise is very disturbing. And I think that's probably why they lost 11 seats in rural Ontario and lost three cabinet ministers.
I don't think that's any secret at all, is it?
Now that I think everybody should know,
yeah,
be familiar with that one, yeah.
Yeah, but don't you have to ask yourself from time to time, what is it going to take to get this task completed in the proper way?
Well, I think it's going to have to, unfortunately, take a new government. I'm just astonished at the refractory or the resistance, the stubbornness of the Ontario provincial government and the way they're not listening to people, the way they have willingly continued down this path in spite of hundreds of people being adversely affected, having to leave their homes to get sleep and restoration, and in some instances abandon their home. The pattern keeps repeating, the government carries on. And it's not as if we need the power. In fact, the evidence for how useful wind turbines is missing.
Yeah.
Denmark and Germany haven't reduced their greenhouse gases. If there is a study that shows that, I'd love to see it. So Ontario has a surplus of power. We don't need this. It would cost 2 to 3 cents per kilowatt hour to focus the next on conservation of energy, as opposed to 13.5 for wind. Why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we addressing transportation, which is the number one source of greenhouse gases, instead of electricity production?
But even so,
the whole business of this pathway makes no sense.
True. Even so, and many arguments can be made against it, in the very least, the wind turbine industry and the movement in the Green Energy Act can't harm people in the process.
Well, they indeed are. And a few people are gaining economically, and the majority are going to pay because of rising electricity bills for essentially electricity that is, it's not helpful to us or the economy. I should just point out that Jim McArthur, the Auditor General of Ontario, brought out his report on December 5th. And all the claims we're making here, he has supported.
Yeah.
In particular, he made the point that the government has not done their due diligence in terms of the economic impact, in terms of the impact on people, in terms of the impact on the power system, any element of it, includes health, I might add. And so it's all there by the Auditor General, who is an objective source of information. Page 90 to 120, for any of your listeners who want to read it, they just have to Google Jim McArthur, Auditor General, December 6th, and they'll find that report. It's all laid out there.
Have you had any reactions yet from Health Canada or anybody who might be in a position to change the course of that study?
Not yet, but yeah. I know there's been a lot of conversations with MPs and MPPs in Ontario, and so this issue is being brought forward. I have certainly met with my own MP last week, and I'm going to be providing additional information. He certainly was very interested in our perspective. In addition, there is a public commentary period that was extended by 30 days. They were trying to do it just July to early August, which, of course, means many people would miss the opportunity because of summer holidays, but they have extended it 30 days into about September 6th. So I would urge people to have their input. The request we've made for years is a really simple one. We want research that is arm's length and that will answer the questions. What is the causation? What can be done to mitigate it, including what should be the safe setbacks? Very sensible questions that have been posed formally for 4 years or more.
Ontario could be leading in this field rather than dragging its heels.
Yeah, well, I think there's a real opportunity lost because I'm with the approximately Parker Gallant, the banker who's done a lot of research in this, indicated that we're spending about $4.6 billion a year on this. The amount is rising by inflation. And overall, it's going to, over 20 years, amount to in excess of $100 billion. I can't imagine why we would be doing that when we could be spending money on R&D. There are a lot of very interesting options to be generating electricity with low greenhouse emissions. And then, of course, there's the idea of what about high-speed rail?
Yeah.
What about regulations related to car and their emissions? What about the idea of the Israelis do? They put piezo crystals under the highway and generate electricity. And the world's busiest highway is 401 north of Toronto. And there's many more I could characterize if you wish, but we have had the most enormous opportunity cost of spending money in the way they have.
But we put all our eggs in one basket.
Yeah, and it's not such a good basket, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Dr. McMurtry, thanks very much for explaining some of this to us, and thanks for being on the radio with us again.
It's a real pleasure, and thanks for having me, Dan.
All right, okay, bye for now. Dr. Robert McMurtry, the founding chair of the Society for Wind Vigilance, talking about this latest Health Canada study that supposedly is going to get to the bottom of the health effects question, but Dr. McMurtry just doesn't think they're going to get there.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.